Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 1. This morning we're continuing our Romans sermon series entitled The Power of the Gospel. Not only is this the name of our sermon series, but it's actually the title of this morning's message. I hope that you know that there is power in the gospel. I hope that each of our students and adult leaders have experienced the power of God this weekend through our Disciple Now weekend. You know, I believe that Disciple Now is one of the most important weekends our students take part in all year long. It was during the very first Disciple Now that I was a part of as a junior in high school that God called me into the ministry. Now, 36 years or so later, I have the opportunity to be a part of a church that Disciple Now is still going on. Are we a church that has the opportunity to host Disciple Nows, but I love the fact that this weekend my daughter has been one of the leaders of our Disciple Now weekend. In fact, each of our leaders are products of our student ministry, and that's something to celebrate this morning. I know that Justin has done a great job leading each of our students this weekend. I want to thank each of you that have been a part of this weekend, whether you cooked a meal or hosted students in your home or drove kids from point A to point B. Thank you so much for all that you did. All right, let's dive into this morning's message. Now, the words found within our focal passage this morning are described by one pastor as the text that changed the world. He made that statement because when Martin Luther allowed the words found in God's word to get into him, it changed him. They lit a fuse in him that ignited the Protestant Reformation, a movement that denounced the Catholic Church's practices and called the church back to salvation by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. So let's look at our focal passage this morning, found in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. We read these words, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Our message point this morning is this. There are many things that you and I should be ashamed of, but the gospel is not one of them. We should be ashamed of our sin and rebellion, right? But we should never be ashamed of the gospel. Notice our first point this morning. Like Paul, we need to live unashamed of the gospel. Again, in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Remember, the gospel means good news, and it is the good news of the birth of Jesus, that he left heaven full of all of his glory and came and dwelt among us. It is the good news of the life of Jesus, that he lived a perfect life and never once committed a sin, which qualified him to go to the cross and die upon the cross for our sins. So the gospel is the good news of the death of Jesus, that he died for our sins in our place. And it is the good news of the resurrection of Jesus, that he conquered death, proving that he indeed was God in the flesh. It was this good news that Paul was unashamed to share. And it is the gospel that you and I need to be ashamed of as well. We need to understand that the gospel, our first subpoint here, is too glorious to hide. This word, God's word, can change our lives, can't it? And it has the power to change the lives of every single person outside the doors of this church. On Thursday, Danny and I went up to Boston for Brian Gibson's memorial service. His service was on Friday at 11 a.m. And the message that I shared up there was similar to the memorial service that we had here at Friendship, similar to the message that I shared there. And after that service was over, I had a number of people come up to both Danny and I and say, thank you so much for the scripture you shared. And that blew me away because they were saying that up there, it is rare to hear a pastor quote God's word to them. How in the world are New Englanders going to get saved if the gospel of Jesus Christ, his word, is not being preached and shared? Paul begins by saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why would he make such a declaration? Why did Paul make the statement, "I am not ashamed of the gospel"? We need to keep in mind that Christianity had not been around that long when Paul wrote to the Roman church. When Paul wrote to Rome, it was the year 54 AD. And the church had been around at this point for about 20 years. Now, I'm talking about the greater church. I'm not talking about the church in Rome. We don't know exactly when that church first started, but certainly it was less than 20 years before Paul wrote to them. But we do know that this church was in a city that worshiped many gods, especially those tied to Greek mythology. It was also in a city that recognized of its people that their worship, that they were required to worship the emperor above any and all other gods. 10 years after Paul writes this letter, most of the Christians that lived in Rome would have been put to death for their faith. A great fire will sweep through that city, burning 80% of the city down. And Nero, Caesar at the time, blamed the Christians for this. It is believed that he wanted to modernize the city, and so he burned it down and blamed the Christians for that. And as a result, many of the believers were tortured, executed, some were crucified, others were burned at the stake, and many were even thrown to wild beasts. It is believed that both Peter and Paul would die under Nero. Paul, it is believed that he gave his neck to the sword, and it is believed that Peter was crucified upside down. He said he was unworthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus. That's why he was crucified upside down. I wonder how many of those Christians that were persecuted 10 years after Paul wrote this letter to them, quoted these very words, "For I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." I can imagine that being a scripture that rang through their minds and in their hearts as they were about to lose their faith for Jesus Christ. You know, we know that persecution is real in our world today. Okay, you and I, we don't experience persecution here, do we? The greatest extent of our persecution that we're going to experience is having a door slammed in our face, or having a friend make fun of us, or a coworker make fun of us for being a Christian. But regardless, we still need to live unashamed of the gospel. When I was in high school, I remember being a part of a youth event that shared. There was a preacher that shared a poem that deeply impacted me then and still today. I've shared this with you before, but this poem is called "I Am Unashamed," or "The Fellowship of the Unashamed." And it goes like this: "I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dwarfed chintzy giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set, my gait is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. Man, I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. These words embody what it means to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice next, the gospel is the power of God. We are told here in verse 16, it is the power of God for salvation. The word translated power in the Greek is dunamai. And it is from this word that we get the word dynamic or dynamite. The gospel contains the dynamic power of God, doesn't it? Paul knew that the gospel was more powerful than he was, and that the gospel could save even the worst of sinners. And he called himself the very worst of sinners. I mean, think about Paul. Remember, Paul was present the day that Stephen was stoned for his faith. Now, we are not told that Paul ever threw a stone, but we do know that he was present there, that he gave his approval and his blessing of it, and even those that did the stoning laid their coats down at Paul's feet, showing that Paul was a poor person of influence at that particular time. Fast forward probably weeks, and Paul would be on, get permission from the high priest to go to Damascus. And he was going to Damascus to arrest anyone that was a Christian. And he was going to bring them back bound, handcuffed basically, back to Jerusalem where they would face trial. And it was while he was on this journey that Jesus would appear to him and draw him unto salvation. You know, Paul did not deserve to be saved that day. He should have been struck dead because of what he had done and what he was about to do. But that is where grace comes in, isn't it? I mean, all of us deserve to die because of our sin. Paul wrote these words in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." What we deserve is death. But notice right here, man, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Jesus, in all of his glorious power, takes wretched sinners like us and saves us by his glorious grace. He saves us and he makes us into brand new individuals. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. At the moment of your salvation, that old life that you once lived, that one sin-filled life, all of those sins that you ever committed, at that moment they were forgiven. They were removed as far as the east is from the west and buried in the sea of forgetfulness, and you were made into a brand new person. There's only one person that can make you into a new person. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mom can't do that. Your spouse can't do that. The government can't do that. Only Christ can and will and does at the moment of our salvation. Paul had been saved from much and saved for much, as all of us have. Notice also the gospel is what everyone needs. We read here, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's not what some people need. It's not what most people need. It is what all people need. There is only one way a person is going to get into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. As Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me. Not multiple ways, there is one way. And Jesus makes that abundantly clear in his word, through his teaching, as well as through the gospel. And through all of the pages of scripture, we see this to be true. The person across the street from you needs the gospel just as much as that person that lives in North Korea. We need the good news of the gospel because of the bad news concerning our sin. And what is that bad news? The bad news is this: the wages of sin is death. But we're told in the second part of Romans 6:23 that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of our sin is death. What we deserve is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Now, what we have to recognize is, as Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person that has ever walked the face of this earth has fallen short of God's glory. Sin not only separates us from God, but also set into motion the greatest rescue mission to ever take place when Jesus came and dwelt among us. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved you so much. He loved me so much. He loved those outside the doors of this church so much that he came and took on flesh and dwelt among us and provided a way for us to enter into an eternal relationship with him. Man, that is love, isn't it? The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save everyone that believes. You know, we're living in a world that is, it seems like we're hearing more, are seeing and witnessing more and more. Happens in my own life, as I know that it happens in most of our lives, where we are unashamed of the gospel, or where we are ashamed of the gospel, or maybe not ashamed of it, but we don't take the time to share it like we need to. Again, you and I were saved from much, and we were saved for much. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice our next point. Live knowing the gospel. In verse 17 we read, "For in the righteousness of God, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." You know, the key word here is righteousness. Okay, this word means to be found in right standing with God. Okay, we're going to take a little quiz this morning, okay? And I want you to think back to what we're looking at. I am not ashamed of the gospel, so I need you to participate this morning, okay? Raise your hand if you are righteous. Raise your hand, okay? Now let me ask you this. Raise your hand if you're going to heaven when you die. Raise your hand, okay? We got a problem, okay? Some people raised their hand and said they were righteous. Most people raised their hand and said that they were going to heaven when they die. Okay, you can't have heaven without righteousness, right? I'm not saying that, I'm not asking you this question to trick you, okay? I didn't ask you if you were self-righteous, did I? I asked you if you were righteous. What does that mean? It means to be in right standing with God. If you are saved, if you have repented of your sins, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you are righteous, okay? You have been made to be in right standing with God. So if you are going to heaven, then you have been made and declared by Jesus to be righteous. Know that obtaining God's righteousness on our own is humanly impossible. On our own, we will never be able to make ourselves right before God. In Isaiah 64:6, we read, "We all have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." You and I were born sinners, and we were born into a world of sin. Before we came to faith in Jesus, we were like these filthy rags that Isaiah talks about here. We were unrighteous. Now, some of you may say today, "Man, I stand before God today filthy." You may believe this morning that you have been disqualified by God because of all the despicable things that you have done in your past. Man, I want you to know this morning that there is nothing you have done that is beyond the grace of God. There is absolutely nothing that you have done in your past that will disqualify you from entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, I have known men that have been convicted of murder get saved. I have known men that have committed some of the most horrendous sins get saved. I have prayed with people inside of prisons I've witnessed them repent of their sins and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and get saved. No one is beyond salvation. Salvation was made possible because of the gift paid for by Jesus, as we see with our second subpoint. God's righteousness was a gift paid for by Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Think about this. Jesus left heaven in all of his glory and perfection and took on flesh and would live a perfect life. He never sinned. He never lied. He never talked back to his parents. He never looked at a woman with ill intent. He never did anything wrong. He was sinless, which qualified him as the only one that could take upon himself while on the cross all of our sins. As we read in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He literally laid down his life for us. The God of the universe did this because he loved each of us so much. Jesus took on himself every sin you and I will ever commit, and he bore those sins on the cross. And it is because of the death of Jesus and the blood that flowed from Jesus that your sins and my sins and those outside the doors of this church can be covered and viewed by God as having never committed before. It is when that happens that we are made to be in right standing with God. In closing this morning, notice that God's righteousness results in right living. Paul says, "The righteous shall live by faith." What does that mean? Man, it means that faith should be the way of life for the believer. Because we have been made right to be in right standing with God, we should do as he instructs us to do and live as he instructs us to live. Now, what does James tell us to do? He says, be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. All of us this morning are hearing the word. Man, every time you open up the word of God and read the word, it's getting into you, right? You're hearing it, but are we doing it? The righteous, those who have been made to be in right standing with God, we are to live by faith. We are to be the hands and feet of Christ. We are to be the mouthpiece of Christ. We are the rescue plan that Jesus put into place whenever he, right before he ascended to take his rightful place next to the Father. Because he commissioned us to go, didn't he? He commissioned us to go to every corner of this world and preach the good news of salvation. You know who does that? Those that are righteous, those that live by faith, those that take God's word and apply it to their lives. May all of us be those individuals. Our takeaway this morning is this: Paul recognized that he had been saved from much and had been commissioned for a great work, and that is true for each of us. I hope you know this morning that the gospel is worth believing in. Man, I hope you know this morning that the gospel is worth sharing. I hope you know that the gospel is worth dying for. And it is a gospel worth knowing and worth sharing, and a gospel that none of us should be ashamed of. You may be here this morning, and as a result of this message, you may recognize, man, I'm not saved. If I were to die today, I don't know for certain where I would spend eternity. Man, we're going to enter into a time of invitation. I'm going to be standing here at the front. I'd love to share with you more about how you can enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may be here this morning. You don't feel comfortable coming forward, and I get that. But I want you to know, after this service is over, I will be standing up front for a few minutes. And if you want to know more about how you can get saved, if you want to know more about this church, I would love to share with you more. You may, as we enter into this time of invitation, as a worship team comes, as they lead us in worship or sing over us, man, let's pray to the Father. Let's pray that he will give us boldness. Let's pray that he will make us unashamed of the gospel. And let's pray that he will give us opportunities to share the gospel with those in need of the gospel. Let's stand together and let's pray together. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord Jesus, just recognizing, Father, that as we began this message, and with our message point, there's a lot of things that we should be ashamed of, but the gospel isn't one of them. We should be ashamed of our sinfulness. We should be ashamed of our wretchedness. We should be ashamed of not living for you. But we should never be ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the power for salvation. It is only when one believes in the gospel, it is only when one believes in the good news that they are saved. And so, Father, I pray that if there is someone here this morning that does not know you, that today will be the day of their salvation. I also pray this morning, if there is someone here this morning, Lord Jesus, that recognizes that there are individuals in their life that do not know Jesus, that you will ignite a flame within them, ignite a flame within me as well, to go to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I don't know what decision needs to be made this morning, but I know that you do. Pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.